Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to Imani State of Mind. If you're looking for a podcast to help get your mind right, laugh with some girlfriends, and learn something new, then you are in the right place. I'm your host, Dr. Imani, and I truly believe taking care of your mind is just as important as taking care of your bodies. We are just 2 weeks into August, and I'm already trying to protect and preserve my peace, y'all. Like, what the hell is monkeypox? What is monkeypox? I mean, I know what it is, but that, listen, I've read some stories on monkeypox and I am terrified. Also, why is Brittany Griner still in jail over in Russia? I thought they did like a prisoner swap or something. Anyway, and Beyonce dropped the album. So thank God for that, because I will readily admit I'm not the biggest Beyonce fan. But I mean, from what I heard, the album is really, really good. So I'm really actually excited for the rest of everybody. And not me, who's not the biggest Beyonce fan. But in any case, before we get the show started, I want to do a mini check-in with my girl and favorite co-host, Meg. Meg, should we make Beyonce's Break My Soul our unofficial theme song or not?
Girl, it's already mine, okay? You might just catch me walking down the street all of a sudden. You will break my soul. Like, out of nowhere. Out of nowhere. I could be thinking about something. So, I mean, I'm down with it if you down with it.
I mean, you know what? I was kind of all up in the mini drama last week when Khalees was like, Beyonce used my song and put my name on the credits, but I didn't get no credit. You know, I didn't get paid for the song or whatever. So then I was like, okay, I went to go listen to the track and I was like, well, I don't even hear the song Khalees is referencing, which was, I forgot the name of the song, but it was the jam. But I was like, I don't hear this song in here at all. But I mean, whatever. I'm actually really happy that, you know, I can kind of share with everyone else as far as like, you know, being excited about Beyonce, which is not to say, it's not that I'm not a fan. I actually was a like huge fan, I think, in her earlier career. But I think when she got into more kind of like ballads and stuff, I was like, I don't know, this isn't really like my thing. But I did love Formation. Anyway, it's a new month and I'm actually really excited because it's August. It's for some people in some places, it's kind of like, this is like the last month of summer. Cause school will be starting back really soon. But also there's a slew of birthdays I have to get ready for. My mother's birthday, my boyfriend's birthday, they're like born days apart. My mother's having like her 70th birthday party and she is really threatening to show her entire yes. ass. But, you yes. know, like, but look, I'm about to turn 50 in like, how many years? 3 years. So I'm kind of planning my 50th year birthday party too. But what's going on with you? What do you have any goals for this month or anything that you want to work on or just looking forward to?
Girl, I am working on I just had a very trying week. Just very busy, a lot going on, just drained me mentally and emotionally. And so this month, I'm working on my joy and peace of mind. I am working on my body, because actually, this is kind of sad. I'm going to Jamaica in a month. Nice. And I was like, well, maybe I should go ahead and start working on my body.
Like, I mean, you can or can't. Right, you can. I mean, listen, there's no time like the present to get started, but...
Right.
You know, like don't stress yourself out. Cause you gonna go there and eat anyway.
Right. But that's how I was trying to be cute before. But you know what? I'm already cute. So that's why I'm trying to change my mentality. Like, who cares? Y'all gonna get these rolls and these stretch marks.
And listen,
just had a baby, y'all just gonna enjoy this. Okay.
Let me tell you, so whenever the last time I went to Jamaica, it was my best friend from med school's wedding. And this was maybe like 6 or 7 years ago. And me and my friend, who got married, we're kind of on the slim side. one of our girlfriends from med school, she is like, she's very curvy and like thick. And when I tell you, like, when we stepped out with her, no one cared about, like, you know, the skinny minis. They were all like, oh my God, like, look at Miss Thickums. So don't lose too much, because when you go over there, like, that's really what they like. Like, they want thick Thickums. That's what they want. Like, they like, oh, are you hungry? You want some more to eat? Like, that's what they're, for me, they were like, oh, so, do you want like another piece of cocoa bread, or you want like another patty or something? I was like, well, I do, but I mean, you ain't got to say it like that. But in any case, have fun in Jamaica. I was thinking about going to Jamaica my damn self, because I need to go somewhere, but I'm still too scared to get on planes right now. I'm not
Girl,
really.
Girl, you already got the vid. You better go while this immunity is hot in your body, okay?
I know, but I'm just like, ugh, there's other people there. I don't know. But in any case, look, last month was all about the relationships we have in our life. What are the people in our lives really saying about how we value or upkeep our mental health? I hope you really took a deep look into your own relationships to get your answers, because this month we are still going to keep it real, but we are evaluating the substance or the state of things as they actually exist. What is your reality?
We've all been there, where we create these fantasies in our head of how we think certain situations should go instead of trying to face the facts of how they really are. This month, we're facing the facts so we learn how to deal, cope, and grow with the situations we are faced with.
So without any further ado, let's get this show started. It's time for Ask Dr. Imani Anything. This is the part in the show where we get to hear from you. Ask us anything, and we are ready to give you our professional and not so professional advice. Meg, who is our letter from today?
Today, our letter is from Jordan, and here's what she had to say. Dr. Imani and Meg, my boyfriend and I recently broke up after 11 years together. He was my high school sweetheart and the only one I really ever want to know. During the pandemic, we experienced the unthinkable and lost his mother to COVID. I tried to be there for him, but it seemed like no matter what I said or did, it wasn't good enough. I saw him changing before my eyes to a very dark person who began to isolate himself from me and my family. Watching him transform from the happy, full of life man I knew to this new, sad, and angry man has been heartbreaking. It's been 2 years now since his mother's passing, and he recently told me he needs some space and time to think about his life, so he doesn't want to be with me anymore. I've been so worried about him. I don't think I've actually processed her death for myself. I know he's grieving, but I'm confused on if I should really move on or if this breakup talk is just grief talking. I have 1,000 questions racing in my head. How can I support him properly? Is his behavior signs of depression? And how long does this typically last? What are the signs of depression I should be looking for? Please help.
Okay. All right, Jordan. Hi. Thank you for your letter. Listen, this letter really just hit home for me, because not that I've lost anybody to COVID, thank God, but I know a lot of people have. I mean, millions of people have, because millions of people have died from COVID. And this is a really just awesome letter just to kind of review what the difference is between depression and grief, and also what are the signs of depression. So, all right. So grief is a... I'm not going to say this necessarily a disorder, but grief is what it sounds like. You're grieving the loss of a loved one, and grief can look very similar to depression. Obviously, people can be very sad. People can be withdrawn or isolate. People can, you know, just generally look like they're in a very just like bad state. Depression, however, is a mood disorder. It is a psychiatric disorder, and depression has various symptoms. And one of the ways that I always remember depression is a mnemonic, which I learned way back in college. And I also used it during my med school training and residency training. And it's SIGECAPS. So SIGECAPS. So the first one is S, which is suicidality. Does the person... or, you know, whether it's yourself or someone else, is that person experiencing suicidal thoughts? Have they, in a little bit more deeper, have they actually thought about a plan to, as far as how they would like to end their life? I's interests. Is the person losing interest in their, you know, usual activities? Like, does, so for Jordan, your boyfriend, like, what, you know, what did he like to do? Did he like to go rock climbing, bicycling? Did he like to read a lot? Are these things that he's not doing as much because he's been consumed with grief to the point where it has turned into a state of depression? Then there's G, which is guilt. Has the person been experiencing any feelings of guilt or shame, which is very common with people that have depression? E is energy. With depression, you're going to see a decrease in energy, a decrease in the person's normal state of functionality, let's say. You know, they're kind of like, they may move kind of slow, or they just, you know, they just may be really, really fatigued, or they may, you know, they may sleep a lot, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Then there's C, which is concentration. This is kind of a subjective finding, but I ask people, like, you know, is it hard for you to concentrate? Like, is it hard for you to stay focused? Then there's A, which is appetite. Some people, when they get depressed, their appetite increases. I know that when I get depressed, my appetite decreases, and it decreases the point where I have to kind of force myself to eat. Now, P is interesting because P stands for psychomotor retardation or psychomotor agitation. Psychomotor meaning psyche. Psycho is psyche, so mind, and then motor refers to actually like movement. So some people, when they're depressed, may say that they feel like they're walking through water. Like, they feel like the rest of the world is moving at a normal pace, but they're moving really slowly. Psychomotor agitation, I guess the quick and dirty way to kind of describe that is anxiety. Is the person experiencing anxiety? Are they nervous? Are they, you know, do they jump really easily? Because anxiety and depression, even though they feel different, they really can go hand in hand. And I take medication. I take Prozac to treat my depression and anxiety. And the last one is sleep. So when it comes to depression, some people, such as myself, experience hypersomnia, which is sleeping too much. Other people experience insomnia, which is not sleeping enough, or they have a really hard time falling asleep. So those are the symptoms of depression. Now, to go through your letter, Jordan, it sounds like your boyfriend isolated himself. He became sad and angry. It's been 2 years since his mother has passed. He said that he doesn't want to be with you anymore, which we can kind of maybe lump into isolation. Now, to answer your specific question, is his behavior signs of depression? Yes, it is. How long does this typically last? Depression can be diagnosed within 2 weeks. So if you have a certain number of symptoms that I described with the SIGGY CAPS mnemonic, if you have those symptoms for 2 weeks or longer, then you are depressed. And that's really important to know, because a lot of people will basically wait for much longer than they need to. Because one, it's hard to subjectively tell if you're depressed sometimes, especially in the beginning, but also people will kind of, you know, let depression kind of sit and linger and fester a bit because they lack motivation and they just are not able to really like just get things going. So to answer your question, Jordan, yes, your boyfriend sounds very depressed. I think the best way for you to support him is to, you know, if he wants to split up with you, you know, I would say, I'm not going to say let him go. I don't think those are the proper words for me to say. But I think that, you know, the best way to support him is just to tell him, like, listen, if this is what you really want to do, I respect your decision. And if you need anything, like anything at all, just to reach out. And I would definitely make a strong suggestion to him that he seek help. It's been 2 years since his mother has passed away. You know, the thing with COVID that's been really devastating for a lot of people is that when, in the very beginning, when people were dying from COVID, they actually couldn't visit their family members or their loved ones. And so when that person died, they couldn't actually be in the same room with them to even, like, you know, look at the body or view the body.
And that's, like, more depressing.
Exactly, because there's no closure. Like, there's not a lot of closure. And so your boyfriend, Jordan, may be kind of stuck in this loop of just feeling guilt because maybe he couldn't be there for his mother. Maybe he couldn't, like, be with her, you know, during her last moments. And he's just kind of stuck in this just depressive loop. So I would just say, you know, just, you know, like, please, please just do whatever you can to help him to understand that there is help out there. It doesn't necessarily mean that he has to take medication, but he definitely should talk to a therapist. But yeah, I definitely would say, Jordan, that your boyfriend is depressed.
Yep. And I would also say, girl, don't take it out on yourself, because I know sometimes as women, we try to be the fixers and we try to, you know, like, mm-hmm. what can I do? But if this is his journey, it's his journey. And unfortunately, as much as you want to walk there hand in hand with him, sometimes you just have to support people from afar and just say, okay, I'm here for you, you know, and I'm not going to take it personal, because it's easy to take it personal. Sure. It's been your boo for how many years? 11 years.
11 so years.
To, you know, to be like, hey, fine, you don't want to be with me anymore, you know, I'm going to support you. So sometimes that's hard to do, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But if that's mm-hmm. what he needs to heal, you got to give him that.
Yeah. No, it's true. Yeah. So I would just say, I mean, Jordan, just, you know, keep your head up. Just, you know, try to be there for him, even if, you know, he wants to move on. You know, you guys can obviously still chat and talk. You guys have known each other for 11 years, obviously. So I doubt it's like, you know, don't ever talk to me again or anything like that. But, you know, just be there for him. And, you know, and if you are so inclined, you know, please write in and let us know how everything turns out, because, you know, this is a really difficult issue to deal with, especially with COVID. And sometimes people, like I said, have lack of closure, and it can just really be like an unrelenting kind of depressive state. So thank you so much, Jordan, for submitting your question. And I really hope that me and Megan were able to help you. Today's question is a great segue into our deep dive topic for this week. Today, we're going to be talking about the realities of grief. This is a really big topic, and it's not an easy one at that. In fact, for those of us who have experienced a very deep loss, reading the word grief might be enough to instantly put us in a funk. So no matter how you deal with grief, we can all agree that losing someone or something we love is an overwhelming part of life. I hope today we can start a conversation to find a way through this human experience together with empathy, understanding, and support. Why do we feel like our grief is something that no one else could possibly understand, when loss is one of the few things that we all have in common? Hold that thought. Meg and I have so much we want to say about this topic after the break. We'll be right back. Imani State of Mind is brought to you by ZocDoc. Before you book any brunch, you pore over lists and lists of reviews. So why not do the same when you're booking a doctor's appointment? With ZocDoc, you can see real, verified patient reviews to help find the right doctor in your network and in your neighborhood. After all, finding the right doctor is just as, if not more, important than finding the right plate of Eggs Benedict. ZocDoc is a free app that shows you doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need them. On ZocDoc, you can find every specialist under the sun. Whether you're trying to straighten those teeth, fix an achy back, get that mole checked out, or anything else, ZocDoc has you covered. I use ZocDoc, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/Imani and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/Imani, ZocDoc.com/Imani. Imani State of Mind is brought to you by Purence. So I can't be the only one who cringes every time I look in the mirror and see a new wrinkle or crease starting to form on my face, right? Well, instead of cursing under my breath and continuing to slather my face with ineffective moisturizers, I decided to put on my research hat and do some homework. And that's when I found out about Cellular Hydration Serum by Purence. And let me just say, Cellular Hydration Serum is a total game changer when it comes to hydrating and rejuvenating your skin. It contains this wonderful tremella mushroom extract that's even more effective at hydrating your skin than hyaluronic acid. yet it's 100% organic and all natural. It fills in those fine lines and wrinkles, lightens those dark under eye circles, and restores that gorgeous dewy glow like you had when you were younger. And all it takes is a couple luxurious dabs each day. Cellular Hydration Serum is an absolute must-have for your skincare routine, especially if you want to nourish your skin with the highest quality all-natural ingredients. And as a listener of our show, you can try Cellular Hydration Serum risk-free today and get a free contouring facial massage roller with your first order. This facial roller will boost absorption and maximize your results. Go to purence.com/mind to learn more. That's purence.com/mind. Again, that's purence.com/mind to purchase Cellular Hydration Serum and receive your free massage roller. Your skin deserves the best. Go to purence.com/mind to get started. Welcome back. I want to dive right into the topic of grief. Grief is one of those things that we all will experience at one point in our lives. It's multifaceted. And in a perfect world, we would be able to move through the stages of grief in an orderly and timely fashion. And at some point, just be done. However, this is not the reality of grief. Grief is complicated. It's hard and unpredictable. And unfortunately, it's something that we can never truly prepare ourselves for. Okay. Grief. Now, I will tell a really quick story about, let me see, what year did I get pregnant? 2006. So in 2006, three of my four grandparents all died in like within a 3-month period. It was like January, wow. I think it was March, and then April. And I was like, I'm not someone who really had ever gone. I think I'd been to one funeral in my life. And at that point, in 2006, I think I was like 29. I was 29. I was about to be 30, or I was 30, something like that. Anyway, I can't do math today. But in any case, going to that many funerals and going to the funerals of my grandparents, and even though, I mean, they were old, like it's not like, you know, they died because like an anvil fell on their head or, you know, anything unexpected. They were old and they passed away. But I think for me, as someone who I didn't realize at the time that I was already depressed, all of that grief completely upended me. And I was just in a really just like low period. For the first time, I actually this was really unheard of for me, but I called my job and I was like, yo, I need like a couple days, like a week, something. Cause I was like, I can't push through this. I can't do this. And it was funny because I remember my supervisor was like, well, yeah, girl, like go take some time. And I was like, oh, you're not tripping? Like, oh my God. Right, like, right. Cause I'm just so hard on myself about just like work and stuff like that. But, you know, it was, I will say this, do not do what I did, which was to, I ended up getting pregnant, like pretty much like if my grandmother's funeral was in April, I got pregnant that month. I didn't know I was pregnant at the time. So don't do that.
Wait, hold on. You got pregnant like right after her funeral or you were already pregnant?
No, I got pregnant, I think it was like the day before her funeral.
And wait, so was this like this is like grief then? You're like, sex with you, dude. Like
No, it wasn't like it really wasn't okay. Planned out like that. Like there was protection, like I had covered all my bases, but for whatever reason, I got pregnant. My mom was like, this is your grandmother trying to come back. And I was like, well, I don't know about all that, but,
I mean, that's what they say now. That's what they say.
Yeah. I mean, I guess cause people also say like death occurs in threes. So I think, you know, my mother's mother was the last person to, whose funeral I attended that year. And I was just like, ugh. So I got pregnant and I'm sure, you know, that grief and my long-standing depression at that time fed into me having a prepartum depression that I had during my pregnancy. But, you know, don't go out and get pregnant, you know, don't take a plane and go, you know, go have sex with somebody and get pregnant like I did. What you can do are, you know, basically a multitude of things. You know, you can definitely, you know, go out and, you know, talk to a friend, journal, like get it out of your body. Like, don't do what I did and just not speak on it, not talk about it, push it down, because it will pop up at the most unexpected times. And for me personally, it pops up with anxiety. Like that's what happens with me. But, you know, just to give like a, you know, a quick kind of like a quick primer, like, you know, grief, we all know what grief is. It's an emotional response to loss. And, you know, even though I'm someone who can be a bit morbid at times, and I have been probably planning my funerals for the past like 10 years. I just,
what?
You know, I don't
for
know.
Real?
Like, I'm like, okay, this is how I want it. Okay. So it's going to be like this. Like I'm going to have like a little, like a funeral where, like, you know, if people want to cry, they can cry, but then I'm going to have an after party also.
You know, I mean, that's not a bad idea. That does take some of the grief away for people, because they don't have to, like, they know you and they know what you wanted. So it's like, okay, I don't have to worry about that part.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, I'm like, y'all, I'm flying through the cosmos. Like, I'm on a comet. Like, I'm not even tripping right now. Like,
right. Earth is ghetto. You left, girl. You good.
Like, I'm like, Earth is like,
out of here.
Listen, I'm like sailing past black holes. I'm out here doing things. I'm visiting other planets, bitch. Like, I'm out here. But I also know the funerals are for the living. So I just wanted, I mean, I legit want an after party. Like, I literally have on Spotify, I have a playlist. Like, it's my funeral playlist.
You already have that.
Yeah. Cause I really wanted, I'm like, listen, you can come to like the first part if you want and, you know, pay your respects. Like, cause I want to be respectful of the fact that other people are used to going to funerals and being sad. Cause first I was nobody can cry, nobody. But now I'm like, okay, Imani, like that's stupid. Like, you people are gonna be kind of sad, you know. I hope that I'm going. But also, people know my personality, which is a very goofy, you know, just like giggly person. So I'm just like, yeah, like let's party. Like, we finna party. Like, let's do this. So my funeral planning aside, you know, I know that not everybody is into that. But one of the things I do want to touch on is that when it comes to grief, there are various stages. I always remember it again with the mnemonic DABDA, which is like D-A-B-D-A. So it's denial, then anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Now,
I want, wait, before you go on, I was going to say this, girl, you better learn how to spell your mnemonics, because you put an extra B or extra D somewhere.
Did I? Like,
wait, no, D-A- not you. I'm saying I would, like, I got to, like, I wouldn't, I would mess this up. I'd be like, wait, what is, how do you spell the mnemonic? Is it two B's or one?
D-A-B as in boy, and then D as in dog, and then A. So DABDA.
All right, girl. Good. Okay, DABDA. Because I probably spelled that
like
wrong.
Okay. DAB, duh. That's how I remembered it. But it's denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. Now, these do not have to go in successive order. So you can be in denial, you can get to bargaining and then go back to denial. You can even go to acceptance and go back to anger. Like, it doesn't flow in a linear fashion. So there are stages of grief. You know, we generally all go through with them. Listen, some people just stay in denial. And, you know, that means they have a lot of work to do. But, you know, on the other side of grief is acceptance, which, really, you know, I'm a big nerd. I watch a lot of Marvel. Lot of Marvel things. And there was something that Vision said to Wanda in the... Did you watch WandaVision?
Yes, I did. I loved it.
Okay. So there was something that Vision said to Wanda, and it just touched me. I was just like, oh my God, that is like, whoever wrote that line, like, you are killing it as a writer. So, you know, this is very short. WandaVision is a story of Wanda, who is Wanda Maximoff. She is the Red Witch. in the Marvel comics, and she goes through some grief because her boo, Vision, who's like half android, half human, he ends up dying. This is at the end of one of the Avengers movies. And so she's just completely beset with grief. And he tells her at one point, and girl, okay, this is when, remember when they were making those memes about Vision and he had like the little mock neck? And they he was putting little chains on him and stuff because I was like, ooh, I was like, ooh, Vision do kind of look like Tommy from Martin though. Like, I was like, ooh, okay. So anyway, something that Vision said in his little Tommy from Martin outfit is he said to her, what is grief if not love persevering? And I was like, that's true. I was like, look at you, Black Vision. I was like, you just be coming with the you coming with the fire words today. So I would say, you know, when we talked a little bit about funerals, and I said that funerals are really for the living. And honestly, you know, one of the ways to cope with grief is to, you know, take some time and honor the person that you're missing, honor the person that passed away. It can be very difficult, especially if you have, you know, especially if it's somebody you know. Listen, even if it's somebody you don't know, like, let me tell, like, when Prince died, girl, I lost my entire mind. I don't even really talk about it anymore. I was just so sad. I was just like, oh my God, like, what is, like,
to that's the point, how I was with Kobe when Kobe died.
A lot of people were really upset when Kobe Bryant died, especially the way that he died. When Chadwick Boseman passed away, I definitely, like, because it was, I mean, it was just so noble. Like, he strategically placed himself in movies knowing that these were going to be the testaments to his career and also to him as a person. And the fact that he chose to play, like, you know, James Brown, and he chose to play T'Challa and did all that with colon cancer. I was like, oh my God. Like, I was like, listen, if I can pull this Epic's funeral playlist off, I mean, that's a quarter of what Chadwick Boseman was able to do. Like, he really strategically thought out, like, okay, I know that I'm dying, you know, let me do it like this. You know, there definitely is grief that you can experience if it's somebody that you yourself know personally. But also, you know, when it comes to, like, grieving, like, as a community, because we do have a lot of reminders of the, of the person that we love so much. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what? I was going to say something else about that, because sometimes it's not always the death of a physical person. Sometimes it's the death of your dreams or what you thought something should have been, whether it's like, you know, the loss of a relationship, the loss of a job, the loss of a career, the physical loss of somebody. And I think the one thing that I've learned about grief in my own life is, like, to allow myself to feel it and not to think you're weak because you feel it. Because I think sometimes we're like, oh, I'm still, like, sad about that, or I thought I was past that. And then something happens, you see something, and, you know, it reminds you of what you were, what you thought you were supposed to have. And then it's like, okay, now I'm back in the DABDA stages.
Right. Okay. Right. Circling back. Yeah, yeah, for sure. For sure. There's, you know, when COVID first started, and I mean, when COVID first dropped, right? I was like, oh, this is interesting, because there really weren't a lot of, like, Black folks, people of color, you know, it wasn't being reported at the time. And I was like, oh my God, like, maybe we'll, you know, like, me being delusional, maybe we'll come on, you know, get out of COVID scot-free and it won't really hit our communities very hard. But we all know that when it comes to, you know, really serious epidemics with this pandemic, we are going to be hit the hardest. And I thought about the doctors, like the first responders, the doctors especially, who like I used to be a resident, and how terrifying it would be to have to go into work knowing that you're putting yourself at risk. I remember back then there were shortages of masks, and people had to keep re-wearing the same mask, and we didn't know as much as we know about COVID right now. And then I thought about, like, you know, all the, you know, people of color, all the Black folks out there who were, you know, on the front lines and, you know, treating patients. And like, I seriously could not ever imagine anything like that. I definitely, you know, started to watch trends as far as like Black folks dying, because when it comes to Black folks and grief, first of all, we already have a bit of a disposition towards holding a lot. Like, we, in a lot of circumstances, I would say more often than not, especially if you live in the United States, as a Black person, you know why you're here. Meaning, you know that slavery is a part of your ancestry. And it doesn't mean that that's all that we are. Like, we're not just, you know, the children of slaves. But I remember being a kid and learning about slavery, and like literally it taking me like a full day. And I kept going up to my parents like, okay, so hold up. So what you saying is, like, explain this to me again. Because I don't understand, like, what, like, did you say chains? Like, what are you talking about? So we hold this place in our psyche, in our bodies, even for the grief of our ancestors. And then when you add on to it the fact that we are more susceptible to dying earlier, dying in childbirth, dying earlier, because listen, I don't know about you, Megan, but like there are, I'm 46, and I would say once I hit like 40, everybody, like all my friends, like started being on like Lipitor, and I mean Black folks, Lipitor, like medication for high blood pressure, medication for high cholesterol. Some of it is familial, but some of it is just the stress of being Black in this country. Like, I remember in 2020 when George Floyd occurred, and there was all this stuff going on. Like, I remember being like, I can't work right now. Like, there's too much going on, and I can't. I mean, COVID is one thing, but, you know, once we started dealing with, like, just, you know, seeing a cop kill George Floyd in real time, I was like, okay, you know what? As a Black person, like, this is my timeout. Like, and I think we definitely collectively did that. Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, as a people, we haven't, if you want to go all the way back, if you take it to slavery in this country, when were Black people allowed to grieve?
Yeah. Never.
You know, if you're a woman and your husband is sold to somebody else, your children are sold, you got to go to work. You don't get a day off. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's like almost ingrained in our DNA, where it's like, oh, you don't get to process what happened to you. You just got to keep going. And I think we look at the processing and taking the moment of like, no, I need this time. It's almost like a weakness, but it's like, we need that. We're human. It doesn't matter that we're Black. We're human, which means we have emotions, which means we need the space to grieve. We need the space to get better.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, if for any of you guys out there who may be experiencing grief, like, I'll just say really quickly that when it comes to my mental health, like the issues that I've had with my mental health, yes, I felt sad, but a lot of it has been physical. A lot of it has been fatigue, muscle aches, joint pain, having headaches, being dizzy. And some people do experience these same types, like those same types of symptoms when they are grieving. So in the past few years, there actually has been a push, and it has been recognized as prolonged grief disorder. And this is a medical condition where grief symptoms last longer than 12 months. So grief and depression can look very similar. I would say that as a mental health professional, you would pretty much treat them the same. Some people, you know, they, what their, let's say that their precipitating factor the factor that actually led them to start experiencing prolonged grief, which can, like I said, really look very similar to depression, may have been the death of a loved one. You know, sometimes it can be other things, but prolonged grief is for 12 months and you do treat them the same, which is why with our listener letter, I was saying to Jordan, like, you know, even if he broke up with you, like tell your boyfriend, tell your ex-boyfriend to go get help. Because it's really important and it can drastically make a difference. I'm telling you, I'm just like, if any of you guys listening out here doesn't hear anything else come out of my mouth on this episode, as somebody who was really averse to medication, I'm just saying, like, for me, it made the difference between night and day. Like, I am just like a different person.
Girl, you got me wanting to be like, can somebody just prescribe me something just in case? Like which is completely how opposite of how it used to be. Now I'm just like, is there anything wrong with me? Give me something.
You know? Right. Yeah. No, for real. No, absolutely. I can't say enough about actually like getting the mental health help that I needed. So, you know, I hope that for anybody listening out there that, you know, us discussing grief and us discussing depression and how they can overlap, but more importantly, grief and how we as Black folks definitely have a tendency to hold on to our grief for longer. It's just very important that we collectively, like, I definitely would say that we as Black folks, we have really taken the reins on educating ourselves about like, oh, I can go get help. Oh, I can go talk to somebody. Oh, I can, you know, maybe for take sure. some medication. But yeah. I think that when it comes to grief, you know, when it comes to COVID, like, yes, this is one extra thing that we do have to deal with in addition to just being Black every day. But one of the reasons why I wanted to become a psychiatrist is because I was like, yo, like if Black folks, if we can collectively get our mental health together, like yes. we could all vibrate at like a higher frequency and be like vision out in here. Like we could have our mock necks on out here flying through space. Like just, yes. I mean, just out here, just vibrating our like ancestral frequencies. Listen.
Yes, ma'am.
Listen.
Yes, ma'am.
So everybody go get the help that you need. Please, please, please. And hey, you know, I know that we have listener letters. If anybody wants to, you know, write in and let us know, like, you know, your before and afters or even like your in progresses, like let us know. That would be awesome. That'd be so awesome.
Yes, please let us know.
Yeah, please let us know. So Meg, thank you for being my co-pilot. This has been a great conversation. We navigated through this grief. We waded through it. We got out to the end. We did it. But I want to switch gears up and lighten things up a bit with my favorite segment, Pop Culture Diagnosis. Pop Culture Diagnosis is a segment where we take a person or character from a TV show or movie and assess their mental state, or as we say in the medical field, figure out what the hell is going on with them. Meg, can you give listeners a quick synopsis of the show Bridgerton and who we are diagnosing today?
Yes, gladly, girl, because this is my show, okay? Bridgerton took the world by storm during the pandemic in 2020. It's an Emmy-nominated show that was on Netflix, and it's based on, like, Regency era of England where eight close-knit siblings of the Bridgerton family attempt to find love in London's high society. I love it. It's, you know, one of the things that makes it so great for me is that obviously Regency era of England is like white people, right? But in this fantastical world, it's very inclusive and diverse.
Okay, so, that was my question. I was like, I don't know, this y'all.
Ain't real, girl, it ain't real life. You know what I'm saying? It can be okay. real. But the fact that it's so diverse is what made me actually like want to watch it. Because I've always wanted to watch those, you know, English novel books that's mm-hmm. been turned into movies. But I was like, it's just too white for me. So at least this, I was like, okay, there's a little flavor. There's a little color. Thank you, Shonda Rhimes, you know, who helped with this. So we're going to talk about season two's leading man, which is the eldest brother of the Bridgerton clan, Mr. Anthony Bridgerton. That's my terrible accent.
Your British accent. Anthony yes. Bridgerton.
And he's the oldest son. So after his father died, he inherited the title of the head of household of the Bridgerton family. And, you know, he's got some of his own issues, but I liked how in season two, you know, you could see how grief debilitates somebody. mm-hmm. with some of the stuff that's going on. So let's talk about that.
Okay. So first of all, I've never saw Bridgerton until now, which is interesting because, mm-hmm. okay, I have, when I was, I want to say 9 or 10, I'm showing my age, but Amadeus came out. And for reason, for whatever reason, I love that movie. When I tell you, my mom finally had to buy it, like, on a VHS tape so that I could watch it. I've seen that movie, like, I'm not even lying. Like, I've probably seen that movie like 200 times over the course of my lifetime. I love that movie. I don't know why. And I just really like, then Dangerous Liaisons came out. Then, like, you know, there've been so many period dramas. Like, if it involved a corset and a wig, girl, I was there. Okay.
Yeah.
Not one black person around. They might have a black person in the background, like playing a violin or right. like, you know, leading That's a horse it. Or something, but that was it. I was just like, oh my God, I just love people in corsets who can't breathe with these wigs on, looking crazy, trying to be all proper. And they are just, I mean, just shady and just, I mean, all over the place. So then I started watching The Crown, and I love The Crown, but I think for whatever reason, like in my brain, there reached like a whiteness meter. And like, yeah. I couldn't deal with any more like British accents or like, or people who like wore uncomfortable clothes, but were just being like really messy. So Anthony, okay. How do I say this in the best way? So I have a boyfriend. He's awesome. His name is Peter. Now, I didn't know until, and I'd known him for 16 years. I didn't know until we got together that Peter has anxiety, like he has anxiety from time to time. And he's had panic attacks in the past and we've talked about it. But this guy, Anthony, reminds me so much of Peter. And I will joke with Peter and be like, you a hypochondriac, because he girl, okay, this is a perfect example. If we walk down the street and let's say we're like in the middle of the street, first of all, I'm used to walking in the middle of the street because of, you know, me being in New York, but he's like, we got to get out the street. There could be cars coming. I'm like, there are no cars on the suburban street. So then we'll be walking and like, let's say, I want to say, girl, for real, like a foot away is some broken glass. He's like, watch out for that. I'm like, okay, I'm not even near that. Like,
oh, he just being safe.
He is, but I'm just like, okay, now, like, I'm not going to, like, I'm not even nowhere near that. He's like, watch out for that. I'm like, okay, all right. So Anthony Bridgerton reminds me a lot of my boyfriend who I love dearly. And Anthony is a very anxious guy, and it makes sense. So as you mentioned, he is the head of the household. He's the man of the house after his father's death.
And he's still pretty young.
Yeah, he's pretty young. Girl, I went through these scenes. His dad died of a bee sting. And although I don't have anaphylactic shock with bee stings, I have had to go to the hospital after getting stung by a bee. So I was like, oh my God. I was like, this man is dying. In any case.
Yeah.
His father died in front of his eyes, and I was just like, man, what year is it supposed to be? The 1700s, 1800s? 1800s, right?
Girl, I can't remember.
I don't know.
Early 1800s?
Early 18.
Something like that.
But I was like, damn, this is back when people were just dying from like tetanus and, I stepped on a nail they took it pretty well, but I got the feeling they were like, well, guess his time was just up. Just got stung by a bee. So Anthony's father dies of bee sting in front of his eyes, which is really just, oh my God, I couldn't even believe that. His mom gave birth after his father's death. And I mean, way to go, Anthony, for basically being like, first of all, the dude who's delivering the baby has a wig on. Like, all right, pause. Take that off. Take that off. That just seems very
stinky,
dirty. I mean, ew. I was like, you need to take that entire thing off. It's nighttime, of course. You know, I think there was like thunder and lightning outside or something. The doctor was like asking Anthony, well, you know, it's a breech birth. Like, what should we do?
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, he was like, well, I don't know. Like, I'm not having a baby. Ask her. Like, ask my mom. Like, she don't want having a baby.
Yeah. In a society where it's like, women don't make the decisions the men do, even though
it ain't your
body. Right. Right.
Yeah,
and the anxiety that he had, you can see that. Yeah, you can't do that now, but you could see the anxiety he had. It was just like, this is the decision. Like, you know, because again, with we're talking about grief today. He didn't even get to process his father's death. He got in a fight with his father. His father died. His mom's having a baby. Now he's got to make all these decisions. Mm. Like, he never got the chance to go, hey, like that, this hurts. He right. just was immediately, you're the head of household. Now you make all these decisions.
Right. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm like, well, I don't know if I can make all these decisions with this suit on and these leggings on. Like, I need to get into some more comfortable clothes.
Right.
If I'm gonna be making these decisions, I seen him storming around with them leggings on and leggings, boots, and a whole suit top. And I was like, I don't know.
How did people do that back then?
Girl, I don't know. I'm like, was y'all?
I was so ready to take my bra off, okay? I don't know. You had a corset. How did they live like
First
that?
First of all, I don't even wear a bra, okay? I'm just like, y'all gonna feel these titties at like a lower point on my chest than y'all used to seeing, because I'm not doing all that today, tomorrow, whatever. So
I love it. But
in any case, so later on, Anthony falls in love with this chick named Kate. And she's actually from India. She's Indian and she's beautiful. And she ends up getting stung by a bee. And Anthony has an entire panic attack. And she was like, yo, like, it's cool. Like, it's just a bee. Now, I'm with Anthony because like I said, I've been stung by a bee. It didn't affect my breathing, but my leg, like, I got stung on my toe and my entire leg swelled up. So I had to go,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm just really allergic to bees for whatever reason. And I never got stung by bees until, you know, I was an adult. But so I definitely felt Anthony's, like, you know, hypochondriasis, like his hypochondriatic, if that's even a word, episode. But she was like, yeah, Kate was like, listen, I mean, she handled it like a champ, because getting a bee sting, it still hurts.
It still hurts. Yeah, it still hurts. She is G for that.
Yeah, no, she's a G. But it was, you know, if anything, you know, we've already kind of discussed, Anthony Bridgerton definitely has symptoms of anxiety. And we've seen him getting panic attacks. At one point, Kate says that he is basically, what does she call him? I'm trying to think of she's called him like a discontent. And basically she was like, you just always grumpy and mad and whatever. And this was right when he started having the panic attack in front of her, because she got stung by a bee. And then she kind of took it back, because I guess then they fell in love or whatever. And, you know, everything was fine. But I will say that, you know, the portrayal of Anthony Bridgerton on Bridgerton was a really, really good example of anxiety, panic anxiety.
Would you say prolonged grief disorder too, or no?
I mean, sure. Yeah. I mean, because depression and anxiety can overlap, I would say that, you know, he had some prolonged grief disorder. He had prolonged grief. I don't know how he was prior to his father dying. Actually, yes, I do, because he was stomping around. He was a really overprotective brother. He was stomping around the house with his sister. So he had anxiety. Then his father died. Grief, prolonged grief, probably depression. And then, you know, then we have him experiencing panic anxiety. So he has some stuff going on, but they all kind of feed into each other, which is why Anthony Bridgerton is a really great example on screen, at least, of prolonged grief, generalized anxiety disorder, and probably some depression as well. So good job, Shonda Rhimes and whoever else writes for Bridgerton, because that was a really, really good example. So there you have it. So that's it for Pop Culture Diagnosis. We're going to have another fun character to analyze next week. If you guys have suggestions for fictional characters out there you want me to diagnose, hit me up on Twitter at Dr_Imani or email the show at hello@ImaniStateOfMind.com. Thank you so much for listening to Imani State of Mind. Thank you so much to Meg for co-hosting. And we'll be back for an all-new episode next week. Let's keep this conversation going. Follow the show on Instagram at Imani State of Mind. And again, email us at hello@ImaniStateOfMind.com. This is a Crooked Media production. Our executive producer is Sandy Gerard. Our producer is Leslie Martin. Music from Vasilis Fotopoulos. Edited by Veronica Simonetti. And special thanks to Brandon Williams, Gabby Leverett, Melanie Johnson, and Martin DeGroat for promotional support.